Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at EPLRoundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are here at the end of the season for a Manchester United segment. Joining us, of course, is Joshy. You can find on Twitter at MediJoshy. Pleasure having you back on to talk about the season, which came to a very exciting conclusion for Manchester United. Unless I'm wrong, unbeaten since the restart, pushing yourselves all the way up into third, which I don't think many would have expected before the restart. Let's just talk about that chunk first before we look at the broader picture. What do you think led to so much success there towards the end of the season?
Well, thanks for having me on, first of all. Obviously we've had great form since the restart, but actually the form, I think, went back to probably January. We lost against Burnley and have been unbeaten since then. And I think a couple of things have contributed. I think the big one is Bruno Fernandes coming in and really injecting a bit of arrogance, creativity. He's very confident and he likes to take risks, right? The team was, it's all almost playing within itself. It had, you know, up until that point, Rashford was the main talisman. If he wasn't on it, then things kind of weren't gonna click. Him and Martial, really. But since he came in, there's almost been a license to take risks. Going forward, that is, we take too many risks at the back, but going forward, there's a license to do that. And he is a frustrating player at times, but he's definitely a very, very good player. And it's something that we were missing in the side this season, especially because Pogba was injured for so long. So he's kind of was the catalyst. But because of his presence, there was a license from the forwards to kind of get running forward. And also Greenwood's emergence as well has helped that, as, you know, provides balance on that right side, which we've lacked, and real quality as well. So, you know, that's been a huge sort of factor. And then Matic's form has been very good, although it tailed off in the last month or so, or the last few weeks. And the defence has generally, in terms of numbers, been decent, although I think, you know, there's far too many individual errors. So I think it's a combination of things. Really, Fernandes's introduction has been a catalyst for the team and the squad, and kind of people. I think people bounce off him because he has got a bit of audacity around him and quality that the team has lacked. You know, he can share the burden with other creative players, and we've seen his partnership with Pogba is evolving, and it's still really good. It looks really good, rather, and there's basically a lot more options inside. The other thing is Solskjaer hasn't rotated, so the team kind of, in terms of the positives, they get to know each other, they play together, and that helps. But then obviously in the environment we've been playing in, it caused a lot of fatigue. So, you know, but in terms of that unbeaten form, there's a bit more grit about the side as well, a bit more determination to come back when we are in difficult situations. And for the most part, we're generally, we don't get phased, you know, if we do concede a goal like we used to. So I think those are the things that have contributed. It's been good to watch, but again, for the most part, it's been really good to watch.
Yeah, the attack in particular was clearly freely flowing. You mentioned Bruno Fernandes there, and then Pogba comes back and Rashford comes back after his back injury. I know you said the form started soon, but it really makes it a less partial person like me wonder why I didn't think things were going to go so well for Manchester United. Like it probably shouldn't have been a surprise, and yet it still somewhat was.
It was, because I think that's probably due to the mentality and the team. Like over the last 6-7 years, you know, setbacks, the team mentally just crumbled. Like you concede a goal and just didn't think that we would come back from it. But at the moment, with the players we've got inside, you know, this is the thing now about this team. We can score a goal sort of almost out of nothing. You know, the goal against West Ham is like that. Greenwood can snap a shot in, And so I think the team knows it can score goals. It doesn't quite, I still think there's a mentality thing there. But it does, you know, it's got more confidence and belief in itself to just sort of the player, to they know that they can get a goal. Is the point. So even one goal, a setback, one goal, they know that they can come back. So mentally, there was that question mark, and but I think, you know, we've kind of answered some of those questions, though not all of them.
Yeah, and then obviously the second half of the season was just a section of the season, as that's how seasons work. The first half wasn't as exciting. I know as soon as it started to get a bit colder out, there were questions being raised about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Why do you think that the first half wasn't working as well? I suppose it's just the juxtaposition of all the things you just said, but do you think there's anything Solskjaer did in terms of adjustments between the two halves of the season, or was the first half just bad luck and the second half good?
No, I don't think it was just bad luck. I can't put a finger on one specific thing, but ultimately, to a point, Solskjaer is learning on the job, which, you know, as a United fan, that doesn't necessarily sit right with me. But he's never been at an elite club like this. He's not had to deal with players on this level of wages and this level of expectation from the fans. So he is learning on the job to a point. And in that first half of the season, he did have to learn some harsh lessons about the quality of his squad, the when's the right time to make substitutions, make changes. But I think part of it as well is he made some good decisions with regards to the tactical side of things against the big clubs. Our issue in the games against teams that just sat back was we didn't have anyone to open up defenses, right? Pogba was injured for a long time, and a midfield three of McTominay, Fred, Matic there's not a lot of creativity in there. Pereira played a lot of games, so you know he was missing some of his best players. You know, Rashford was out for a long time with a back injury, and then he also had a new defence, right? Maguire and Wan-Bissaka were new to the club, and you know that's going to have a settling. They're going to have a settling in period in terms of a unit, right? Because the defence has to really work as a unit, and that's still kind of a work in progress. Alongside Maguire, we didn't really have a settled... it's been Lindelof for the most part of the season, but I don't think he's a top-tier defender, so there is that issue. On the left-hand side, Luke Shaw has had a decent season, or, you know, a pretty good season, actually. But again, it wasn't settled. And then behind them, you've got De Gea, he's not in the best of form, right, putting it mildly. So I think there's a lot of stuff in the first half of the season that was contributing. And it started to come together, right? After that Burnley defeat, I don't know if he did anything differently in the background, but certainly things started to work better and the team clicked. So, you know, I'm obviously pleased with how it ended up. But obviously third isn't something that a club like Man United should be celebrating. But given the situation we were in, I think at one point, Leicester were 15 points ahead of us. I think we ended up 6 points ahead of them or something like that. I can't remember now. But no, it can't be 6 points. 3 points ahead of them, obviously, or 4 points ahead of them. But, you know, there's a, you know, given that situation, it was a good result in the end. But I think there was a combination of a lot of things. And if you think that he's actually got rid of quite a lot of players as well, and still there are players in the club that aren't good enough and he knows it. So there's a lot of contributing factors. But in the end, I think... with Fernandes coming in that injection of quality at just the right time, a little bit of luck in terms of the fact that, you know, you just settled in straight away. Sometimes, you know, you just need that first goal or that first assist or a really good performance to kick on, and then everything else kind of falls into place. So Yeah, no, it was okay, but you know, there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to go to this place, but you brought up De Gea and his non-spectacular season. Obviously, Dean Henderson, by comparison, was a standout goalkeeper for Sheffield United, who throughout the season looked like they would contend for European spots themselves. There is some external debate about whether or not you should stick with De Gea or just start Dean Henderson next season. I guess we'll start there, but if you aren't thinking that Dean Henderson's ready for the job now, would you at least rather keep him in-house to apply some pressure, or do you think another year out on loan to gain some confidence further would benefit him?
No, I don't think another year on loan. I think he needs to come back to the club and put pressure on De Gea. Obviously, De Gea has not had a good season, right? But at the same time, he's got a higher save percentage than Alisson at Liverpool, which I found out the other day, and I was like, okay, that's interesting. And you know, I don't know what it is. Something just hasn't been right with him. But he's still a very good keeper in the grand scheme of things. He's just not at the level that we've expected from him, and he's making more mistakes than he used to. Dean Henderson has also made mistakes, but you could maybe chalk that up to him being a younger player, still learning his trade at that kind of level. So I would say bring Henderson back in. I don't think Dean Henderson. I'd love it if he went on to become a top level goalkeeper and was at United for the next 10, 15 years. At the very least, I think he'd come back to the club and push De Gea, put pressure on him. It's certainly not an area where I would want United wasting time over the summer upgrading. It's a really important position, but it's just another thing that we'd add to the kind of list of areas where I think we need upgrading. And hopefully De Gea can, with a bit of pressure from Henderson, he can start to rediscover his best form. I still think he's a better keeper than Henderson. He's just that his mistakes are magnified because he's playing at United, and he has been so good for us in the past. He's got, you know, but ultimately, you know, he's got more clean sheets than Peter Schmeichel did for us. He's got more appearances now as well. So, you know, and he's got that experience under his belt. He's a winner. It's just unfortunate that a poor patch of form, okay, a patch, or I guess the decline has been a bit longer than just a patch, but you know, it gets magnified when you're a goalkeeper at United. So I'm hoping he can rediscover his best form. But you know, it's the only reason I kind of want that him to have another chance, or one of the reasons, is because I don't want us to be focusing on a keeper because of other areas in the squad that need upgrading. That said, if someone like Jan Oblak was available and we had the money and we'd covered all the other positions, then I wouldn't be upset, right? If there was if we brought in someone, because it's an instant upgrade, someone who's in peak form. Maybe De Gea just needs fresh, you know, if he went off to another club, he may rediscover his best form, things like that. It might just be one of those things, but we'll see. But with regards to Henderson, I don't think he's good enough to be a top level keeper. That said, I think he does deserve a chance to prove me wrong. Well, not that he cares about my opinion, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. And that does make a lot of sense that you wouldn't want to spend your assets in that position if you have two decent options. So yeah, I guess just roll it for another year, bring Henderson back and see what happens. I think, well, not a very good analogous situation because the ages are switched. Seeing somebody like Caballero replace Kepa after a string of really bad performances is a good example of what can happen if you have that second keeper at the club that you have confidence in. And then, of course, he keeps a clean sheet that pushes them into the Champions League alongside with you. So definitely think there's some merit in that. Getting back to the more seasonal stuff, what was your favorite memory of the season?
Oh, I think it was probably 2-0 against City with that Fernandes little flick from the free kick, Martial volleying it in, and then McTominay's goal from about 45 yards. I hope that I can upgrade that to winning the Europa League by the end of the season, because the season, of course, is still going. But I think just thinking back in terms of as a fan, that was an awesome moment. We, you know, we beat City a couple twice this season in the league, Chelsea both times in the league, another time in the League Cup, I think. And you know, it's been so those big games we've been pretty good. obviously not so good against Liverpool, but I don't think many were. So yeah, but I'd have to go with that. It was as a fan, that's the kind of thing you want to beat your rivals, and do it kind of do it well, and do it at a time. You know, it really hurt them. Obviously, Liverpool went on to win the league, and but there was, I don't think anyone was going to stop that at that stage. So yeah, no, that was probably it for me.
Gotcha, certainly a valid one there. We kind of touched on Solskjaer a little bit earlier. There's been a lot of comparisons of him and Lampard for this season. Do you think that Solskjaer kind of has that long-term potential that they certainly seem to think Lampard does at Chelsea?
You see, that's, you know what? What's interesting about all of this is I saw multiple articles and tweets about how Lampard's done a fantastic job at Chelsea. But the same kind of press does, you don't get that about Ollie. And I guess it's to do with the fact that, you know, obviously we've got massive wage bill, but so do Chelsea. And we did spend a fair amount of money in the summer. But I think he's done a really good job. And when you look at the way the team has progressed, the relative success he's had in the transfer market, because I think in his permanent signings and even loan signing of Ighalo, they've all been pretty good. Dan James, okay, I don't think he's going to be good enough long term to start for United, but you need those players that in and around the squad that are going to work hard and maybe make an impact. And with his pace, if he can sort out his kind of movement and awareness, he would be a real threat. So, you know, I think overall he's done well, and I think long term there is potential there, but it's really difficult to judge, right? Because anything can happen, a few bad results, and suddenly we're talking about, oh, does he have the metal for it, that kind of thing. So but what I think is important for him and the club and the players and the club as a whole is to get some silverware under your belt, right? And it always is, you know, it's just that mental, even just that mental kind of block being removed around winning a trophy is really important. So if we can go on to win the Europa League, it's not a foregone conclusion by any means. There's some really good sides left in the tournament, but we've got a really, we've won our first leg 5-0. So the next match is essentially against LASK, is essentially not a dead rubber, but you know, we should get through. And then after that, it's again, not massive teams. I think it's Copenhagen and another Turkish team, I can't remember the name, but you know, these matches are winnable, and then you're suddenly in the semi-final of the Europa League and you're kind of now mixing up in that end. So I think a trophy is really important just for that mental block, and then he needs to have a good summer. The board really need to back him, and if they don't, then I fear for him, because the first 11 is good. But beyond that, we're lacking depth and quality, and there are areas in that first 11 that need upgrading. So I think there's potential. You can see we're playing really good football. The front four, front five, if you include Pogba, have the potential to do some real to really click and become a really top level side. I mean, the front three have scored more goals than Liverpool's front three, right? So there's a lot been said about Rashford, Martial, Greenwood. They've been excellent, and the output has been excellent. So there's real potential there, and he's got to take a lot of credit for that. So I'm hopeful, and ultimately, out of anyone in the world, as a United fan, I'd want him to succeed, right? Because he's a United legend. Mm. So that would be the ideal. It's just difficult to judge because he doesn't have the pedigree behind him. And similarly with Lampard, difficult to judge whether or not this is an outstanding achievement or not. Chelsea are one of the richest clubs in the league. They've got one of the most expensive squads in the league, highest wage bills in the league. So it's not like he's come in and transformed a side that was struggling. They were in, I think, I can't remember where they finished last season, but they were in the Champions League, right? So it's not like he's progressed them, but he's obviously done a good job given he's also not had that experience at a kind of top level club. So I think comparisons are inevitable given the sort of similar stories, club legends coming in, etc. But I don't think it's constructive. I just think you just got to judge at the end of their tenures, right? That's the only way.
Mm. Well, then it's probably going to be quite some time based on the form you both showed heading into the end of the season before either of them end up going. You mentioned your front line there and how potent they were. Are any of them going to be your player of the season for Manchester United, or are you going for someone else?
Yeah, no, I had a thought, think about this, and I think I'll probably go. I mean, Fernandes had a massive impact after coming in, and he's got to be the most influential. But for the in terms of the way we finished the season, but over the course of the season, I'll probably go with Anthony Martial. I think he's really progressed this year, and you know it's his best output in terms of goals and assists. But there's been a real difference. And, you know, when you look at the types of goals he's scoring tap-ins, he's scoring long ranges, he's scoring headers, and showing obviously his usual outrageous skill. And what I think the difference is between this year and previous seasons, and this will probably come from, I have to assume it comes from coaching directly from Ollie, is around his not his attitude, because that kind of implies that, you know, he's had a bad attitude and a bad approach. Probably it's his mentality as a striker, right? He's much more hungry to get a goal. It's like, you know, now he looks like he needs a goal, as opposed to before, where if he got a goal it was kind of a bonus on top of his dribbling and assists and things like that. But now it's all about, he wants to get into the box, get those goals. He's much more aggressive. He knows how to use his body a lot better in terms of his strength, holding up play, getting past defenders. And he's still got that pace and that skill. And his movement has improved as well, sort of coming across the front post. We saw a couple of good goals when he's got that hat trick from that point of view. So I would say him, but there were some good shouts. Obviously, I mentioned Fernandes, Harry Maguire. I think maybe not player of the season, he's had his issues, but he played every single minute of every single game in the league. We've been solid for the most part at the back, massive improvement in terms of goals conceded. So, you know, and he's now the club captain, so for him that's obviously a great achievement. I don't think, again with Harry, I don't think he's a top level, top tier kind of defender like Rio Ferdinand, Yap Stam. But if we could get someone alongside him, he could form a unit, you know, with them. But I think he's had a good season as well. But I think my
every match for you.
Yeah. In every single competition?
No, in the Premier League. But he was first one to do it in some time, because you had Baye and Lindelof there for
but
a while.
He started every game and finished every single game, right? So he's one of, I think, only four or five players that have done that across the league this season. And nobody's done that for United for a long time. So, I will go with Martial, just because he's been good. He's been phenomenal since the restart, but he's been generally good throughout the season. When Rashford was out of the side, his form dipped as well. I think they play off each other really well. But generally, I think just the improvement in him, like next season, I can see him bagging 20 goals in the league and really pushing for that golden boot. He's becoming a reliable goal scorer up front, a real proper number nine. So that, I mean, for me, I think that hit the progression in him and his contribution. For me, he's the player of the season.
Yeah, he always just needed a little bit more consistency, and he certainly found it this year. And I know we've talked about in the past, I didn't really understand what your strategy was by blocking Martial with Ibrahimovic and then Lukaku back-to-back. But good seeing him finally get that run up front for you. And yes, he's obviously a fantastic scorer with fantastic mobility as well. The other player that could be in his position, but then ended up playing with him and out wide a lot, but still scoring loads of goals, was Mason Greenwood. Just curious, among that list of modern strikers, we can even go back to your Berbatovs and your Van Persies. Do you see Greenwood finishing anywhere near that pantheon?
I said it at the beginning of this season and towards the end of last season. I don't watch the academy games that much, but I was watching him come through, and he's the only player I've ever seen, right, at any age level, regularly take free kicks with both his left and his right foot and score. He takes his penalties with his right foot, but we've seen when he plays, his left foot is lethal. That he is, in terms of footballing talent, he's right up there with the best I've seen come through at United. And, you know, I think in terms of excitement when he's on the ball in and around the box, it's comparable to when Ryan Giggs was coming through. And I mean, that for a United fans my age, that's kind of probably the biggest compliment you can give. And I genuinely think he's got everything to be one of the world's best best strikers, best footballers. He's just got everything, and you can see it. He's scored 10 league goals this season, I think 16 in all competitions for an 18-year-old. He turns 20 in October 2021, so he's going to be a teenager for another year and a half or so. I mean, he's got everything, right? So, I mean, I can't think of a weakness. Maybe he's heading, but he's playing out wide, so I guess he doesn't get that much opportunity to be attacking balls in the box with his head. But ultimately, I think talent-wise, and just there are certain things that players have where you just watch them and you know that they're good players, and he's the real deal, right? It's not like an Adnan Januzaj or I can't think of others, but you know that we've had flash in the pan type players come through, not just at United but across the globe, you know, in other clubs. But he is not that. He's got everything. As long as he keeps his head in the game, works hard, and he's got, in terms of a striker, he's got the best manager to sort of around, right? Because Ollie will tell him how to score goals. Not that he needs to know. The boy knows where the net is. So I think he could be the best in the world. You know, he's right up there. He'll be challenging for golden boots for years to come, as long as he keeps his head in the game.
Relatedly, though, obviously there are a lot of transfer rumors swirling around Jadon Sancho, obviously being the biggest right now. If you brought him in again, you could be in a Martial situation where he then has to take a back seat and no longer get those minutes that he was getting right now. Would that be the only thing that could really throw a wrench in his development?
No, I don't see that as an issue. I mean, if you look at the squad, right, when Greenwood is out or Rashford is out or Martial doesn't play, there's a massive drop in quality. So we need to bring in quality in a lot of positions. And that's true across defence, midfield, and up front. So like Lingard, Mata, Chong, these Andres Pereira, these guys are not anywhere near the level of the starting front three. And they're the ones that, and Dan James, right? They're not. There's a massive drop off. Bringing Sancho in, it adds quality, and it doesn't mean that Mason Greenwood is going to be the only one that misses out. That puts pressure on the likes of Rashford, Martial, and Greenwood to make sure that their level stays, you know, high, and they continue to improve. And you know, Sancho can play across that front three. I just think it's a good. It makes sense, And the other thing is, whilst Greenwood is an outstanding footballer, he's still maturing physically. He's still only 18 years old. And if we go far in competitions, like we have done this year in the Europa League and the FA Cup, then you're going to be playing, 45, 50, potentially up to 60 games in a season. And there's plenty of time there for him to get minutes and Sancho to get minutes, everyone to get minutes. So you just have to look back to, it's all about managing the team, managing the players and timing it right. I mean, Ferguson was the master at that. Everyone talks back to when we won the treble, we had Solskjaer and Sheringham on the bench with Colin York up front, right? So we had quality in these attacking positions. And I think that's exactly what we need. And if you think Ighalo is going to be moving on after his loan finishes, we need that. We need forwards. We need people to come in. And I'm not saying we go out and sign another top level striker to replace Ighalo when his loan ends. But it is about having options and quality and depth of quality as well. So for me, I don't see that as a problem. It would be a problem when you've got Lukaku, Alexis Sanchez then comes in, you've got Martial, you've got Rashford, you've got Mata, you've got Lingard, you've got all these players, and then it becomes a bit of an issue because Mourinho didn't really understand his long-term plan. It was quite short-term. Ollie has clearly got a long-term plan and a long-term vision. It's about executing that. And Jadon Sancho, if you look at his profile of player, fits in with the profile of player that we've got going in those forward positions. He's mobile, he's quick, he's tricky. He gets goals, he gets assists, He plays across the front three, so he can, you know, they can switch positions. So I just see it as only a good thing for Mason Greenwood and Martial and Rashford.
And then you have a fantastic player that's coming. Yeah, in as
exactly,
well.
exactly. He's a top level player, or potential to be a top level player. It looks like he's sort of at that level already. But again, he's young. That part of it, you worry about the mentality. You sort of, you know, sign for. Let's say he does sign for United, the scrutiny at United is a lot bigger than at Dortmund.
Don't give him the 7 kit. That hasn't gone well.
Yeah, I know, right? And then the fee that's going to be reported, whatever it is, you know, even if it, you know, whatever it is, it will be reported with his wages, with whatever else, you know, and then there will be something like, put it all together, the headlines will be around 150, 160 million pound transfer or something like that. So it's all about that. Does he have the mentality to do that? But I think I don't know him well at all in terms of his character, but certainly he had the courage to leave Man City, leave Pep Guardiola, go to Dortmund, forge his own path, and he's done that, and he's done that really well. So you based off that, you hope he's got the character and the mentality to come through now back to United, and if he does sign and do a really good job and start and fulfill his obviously massive potential. So yeah.
For you, is it just a blank check transfer? I know by Borussia Dortmund are looking for 100 mil plus, or is there a price where you'd be like, I don't know, maybe we could spend that better elsewhere?
It's a good question, right? Because I do think we do need forwards and do need attackers, but we also need other areas being covered, not just covered, we need upgrades in other areas. So if you're now starting to think like 120 million, and does that mean we can't then go out and sign a top level centre back to partner Maguire, a midfielder to a long term replacement for Nemanja Matic, you know, someone to a really top quality midfielder alongside Pogba and Fernandes. You know, if it means that we're basically lumping it all on Sancho, then it's coming up the fees in a ridiculous range, then I don't think it is one of those, as you say, blank check transfers. I don't think there are too many footballers in the world where you would do, if Kylian Mbappe was available, you'd probably say he was one. But even Lionel Messi probably isn't anymore, given his age, because not because I think he's rubbish because of his age, but because you probably don't get the number of years that you would want from a blank check transfer, right? So I don't think there are too many of those around. But yeah, I would say he's obviously a priority for the club and the number one priority. So I can't think of.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Too many players that feel like they're just really good fits in terms of that the way we play and the front line. He looks like he's pretty good friends with Marcus Rashford from the way they interact at England level. I'm sure he knows Mason Greenwood well from sort of youth time, you know, so I'm sure there's it'll be easier for him to settle in. It just seems a good fit. Whether we spunk everything on one player, I don't know. That doesn't feel right because there are lots of other areas that need upgrading.
Gotcha. Another potential transfer that was linked very heavily when it looked like he was going down, but now hasn't, is Jack Grealish. Reports seemingly indicating that you've kind of given up on that one with him staying up and hearing Aston Villa's price. Is that another player that you like desperately want to get in, or do you think there are a lot of other options there in those midfield areas, especially considering the strength that you have in your starting group right now?
Yeah, I think his profile of player is right. Someone who can come in and, you know, when we need to give Fernandes and Pogba a rest, come in and provide that creative spark in the center of midfield, or in those attacking areas centrally in that midfield area. 80 million probably is the fee that we're looking at, and probably Villa, given they've stayed up, they could push for more. He's a Villa boy. I'm not desperate for him to come specifically, but certainly someone to come in and provide an option for, because Fernandes, when he's in the last couple of matches, he was dreadful because he was knackered. I mean, he still produced a couple of assists and a goal, so that's cool, right? If you're dreadful and you still do that, I'm good with it. But in terms of his passing, his legs looked gone, right? Nobody can play that to that level of intensity across an entire season in every single match. Maybe Cristiano Ronaldo does, but not, you know, I think that profile of player is right, but Grealish probably isn't the player that will be coming in given his fee. I think a more important signing than that would be either a top level, top tier centre back, or a really top level central midfielder to play where Matic is. When Matic is on form, he's outstanding, but he usually maintains that for about 15-20 games, and then it dips. He needs a rest, and then he comes back into it. I suspect a central defender is the target, because we've got Fred, who had a very good season in the first half of the season, and then I probably unfairly was dropped, but then Pogba's come in and done a good job for the most part, and you can't really drop Pogba for Fred. And you've got McTominay as well. So I think the central defence is probably where we go. It's a big need. If you could get someone with some pace alongside Maguire, I think you've got the makings of a good unit there. You know, if you had basically someone like Rio Ferdinand, I can't think of anyone who's at that level in world football right now. Nobody is. But, you know, someone who is that kind of profile of player, quick, reads the game well, obviously strong, good in the air, but it's more about that awareness and pace and can bring it out from the back. So that would probably be the number two priority after Sancho, or gotcha, after that right-sided player. Yeah.
Gotcha. Any other positions you're looking to fill? I know you've mentioned a few there, or if we're thinking about outgoings, anybody you think might be making their exit?
Oh, so outgoings, I mean, you've got to say Lingard, Mata, Andreas Pereira, Phil Jones, Chris Smalling, Rojo, they're all at risk. Yeah, you have to kind of say that they're all at risk. I don't think they offer much anymore. I think Lingard might stay, but he's certainly at risk. But those are your outgoings. And then you need cover in those positions, right? Not like for like replacements, because obviously we're trying to upgrade the quality. The point is, our starting 11, I think we all know, but beyond that, there's the depth of the drop in quality when you bring some of these players on. Like when we saw, you know, Luke Shaw was injured. I like Brandon Williams, but going forward, he needs to improve. Wan-Bissaka, great defensively, needs to improve going forward, but I like him. But after him, you've got Diogo Dalot, who, for whatever reason, hasn't progressed and doesn't get as many minutes as I thought he would do. He looked like a good player, but hasn't done a great job. So, I mean, when we think about these types of positions, I kind of like Max Ahrens as a right back, a backup at right back, and he could obviously push Wan-Bissaka for that starting spot. Norwich being relegated. When you think Ighalo's leaving, who's a good profile of striker there? Callum Wilson, potentially, from Bournemouth. You know, I think he's got 10-odd goals this season. He would obviously come to United not expecting to start every game. It's kind of the right profile, but I think he's got that. He's got the attributes. I would actually love it if we could get Jamie Vardy. You know, could we prize Jamie Vardy from Leicester and to be back up to Anthony Martial? That would be pretty cool. Not saying it's likely to happen. I'm not saying But just in case anyone listening gets pissed off, I just think it would be a really great transfer. You know, we say to him, come and play Champions League football in your one of your final next final seasons. You won't play every game, but you'll get a ton of matches because Martial can't play every single match. I think that would be a good signing. And then we definitely need, like, Luke Shaw is good, but in the long run, unless I don't think we'll be going out for a left back this summer, but if next season he can't sustain an entire season at a top level, I'm sure that'll be an area we'll be looking at as well. So the squad has issues, so which can't all be sorted out in a single transfer window. I think we'll probably sign 3, maybe 4 players, and as long as they are quality upgrades on whatever position they're supposed to be in, and their status in the squad, then that's probably a good summer. I would say a centre back is an absolute must, and obviously Sancho is a priority. I don't think he's an absolute must compared to centre back or central midfield like that Matic replacement, but he looks like a priority, and we'll get someone in that area.
Gotcha. We'll certainly keep an eye on all of those ins and outs. I was going to ask about your expectations for next season, but there is still some of this season left. You're, of course, in the Europa League round of 16 against LASK. Not expecting you to know too much about your opponent there, but what are you expecting in that one?
Well, we beat them 5-0 in the first leg, so I'm expecting us to just go there. I'm sure there'll be massive rotation in that match. It will be probably not a massively eventful game, and we'll get through to the next round. But then I just think winning a trophy is really important, and if you look at the teams there, we could beat any of them. I think Inter are still in the competition, and a couple of other, I think Roma are still in the competition, so they may be, you know, really difficult matches there, but it's winnable. It's, again, I'm not going to say I expect us to go off and go on and win it now, because there's going to be rotation, there's going to be issues. And one of the biggest issues in this squad is since the restart, I think you asked me in the text when you sent before this, was what's my biggest disappointment, not of the season, but since the restart, when you look at the goals that we've conceded, that's the biggest disappointment. Not that I expect us never to concede a goal, but the manner in which we have conceded goals is probably the biggest disappointment. So when you go through, you know, just I think we've conceded 10 goals since the restart in all competition, and 8 of them were down to a specific individual error, either by, so De Gea's made a few high profile ones, like letting the ball go through him against Spurs, Bergwijn hit it right at him. Then De Gea losing the ball against, not De Gea, Pogba losing the ball against Southampton. Lindelof letting his marker run past him against Southampton. Even the 2 goals that we won the match against Bournemouth 5-2, but the 2 goals we conceded in that were dreadful as well, with Stanislas nutmegged Maguire and then beat De Gea at the near post, completely avoidable goal. And then they got a penalty which is like someone smashed it back at Bailly, and he ended up handballing it with VAR giving the handball. Just when you go through it, that's been the biggest annoyance. We could have had the league wrapped up a lot, not the league, obviously, top 4 or 3rd even, you know, wrapped up earlier if it weren't for some of these mistakes. Genuinely think of the 10 goals we've conceded since restart, 8, arguably 9, were completely avoidable and were down to 1, if not 2, individual errors in the lead up to the goal. So that's the biggest issue, and that's why I don't go into this Europa League campaign going, oh, I expect us to win it, because actually at any point an error might come out. You know, you just have to shoot at De Gea at the moment, and there was a moment against Leicester where I can't remember the name of the Leicester player, but he swiveled on in the box and shot with his left foot. It was a little scooped shot, and De Gea went to catch it, and for a split second in my brain I thought he'd fumbled it, right? Just because that's what I'm expecting at the moment. So it's just that we're a bit skittish at the back, a bit jittery, so that's why Europa League for me, I can't say we should be winning it, you know, even in terms of the expectation. But I think it's winnable and we can go out and beat any of the teams out there. And like I said earlier, that barrier, winning a trophy, is really important. And that's why, like, for Arteta and Lampard, it's great that they're in the final of the FA Cup. So massive opportunity for them to get a trophy under their belt in their first season as a manager, at this level. That's an outstanding achievement. So it's, again, important for Ole, I think, to get that under his belt. Otherwise, it will, as you will know, as a Spurs fan, it will be a question mark hanging over the manager's head for a while, given Pochettino had that over his head for a long time before he ended up leaving. So I think we should, when I say go all out for it, I don't mean in the next match, because we've already got a 5-goal advantage. But certainly once we get into the semi-final, quarter-final, semi-final area, we should be going for the win.
Gotcha. Then assuming some of the transfer stuff we talked about earlier, assuming you get, say two of the three primary things, say it's like a right wing or a center back or a central midfielder and one of those other two, what are your expectations for next season? Is it immediately competing for the title again, or is it another year of make sure you get top four, get the finances flowing, and then make a push later on?
Given all I've mentioned, the quality, the drop in quality in terms beyond that first 11, if we do get, let's say we get Sancho in, let's, for argument's sake, we get a top level centre back in, and then the third transfer is,
one of those, like, then, relegation guys you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, you might get in, you know, let's say you get Callum Wilson in, and then one of the guys who's been relegated, right? I think that would be a decent window, decent, not ideal. Because you'll have people going out of the club as well. I can't say right now immediately that results in us challenging for the title, because you either have to be super lucky with injuries, but even then, you know, the fatigue sets in. Look at Liverpool. They went off and they ran away with the league, but they didn't win anything else. Right, the best teams have deep squads that go on and win Champions Leagues in the same season as the league. They win the double, like FA Cup, FA Cup and the league, right? Liverpool couldn't do that because at times Klopp had to rotate, and at times they did look a bit leggy. But then for them, that didn't really matter because they'd sprinted so hard and so fast ahead of everyone else. They were able to do that. So you need that deep squad. If we were to get those two, like, let's say, because I'm thinking about the upgrade to the first 11, Sancho and a top-level centre-back, and you've got a little bit of an upgrade to the ones below. So expectation-wise, absolutely, I think top four is a minimum, right? And it has to be a minimum. But then I would expect us to go all out for another trophy, League Cup, FA Cup, and then we're back in the Champions League, so a good run in the Champions League. I think that would be a decent season for us. Obviously, I hope that we can challenge for the title, and I hope we could go do more than that. But realistically, the gap between United and Liverpool this season was 33 points. That is massive, right? So I don't think Liverpool, well, they could have another season like they did this year, where, because their previous season was exceptional as well. So to close that gap is going to require a lot more than just a few signings like that. But, you know, then on flip side, you hope to see Greenwood, Martial, Rashford will all progress and maybe get more goals. Fernandes and Pogba will start to get better understanding. Wan-Bissaka, Maguire have a year under their belt. And so then you're hoping maybe De Gea rediscovers some form, or Henderson comes in and he's solid. So there are areas where we should hopefully see improvements without having to sign players as well. So there's that to think about as well. So I'm optimistic, although, again, I'm not thinking we have this divine right for a title challenge next season. But, you know, I can comment a bit better once the transfer window is over. The other factor is, actually, because we're in the Europa League, we won't have a proper rest before the start of the season. So that will be a factor that will be something to think about as well, given this has been an intense period of football. The Europa League will be less intense because they've gone to one-legged matches, one-legged ties. But still, It's you're going to be in training camps. You can't, if I was Solskjaer, you'd probably give them a rest, but you can't just send them off on holiday now until the last game, because then they come back without being prepared. So they're still going to be doing training, probably a few days rest training. So they don't get a proper break. So that, again, will factor in, which is why you need the depth in your squad. I don't think a title challenge is what I don't expect a title challenge, but certainly I expect us to close the gap on Liverpool and top four. Given we finished third, I have to say third or fourth is a minimum for next season.
And yeah, again, just crazy that after everything that happened this season that you wound up finishing third, kind of similar with everybody else that was in that chasing pack. Just it's crazy how close all of that was, and really impressive how well you performed since the restart.
It was close. It was weird, right? Because every single time Chelsea slipped up, we slipped up, or Leicester slipped up.
It was like last year with Chelsea, Arsenal, and Tottenham, who all really struggled down the stretch.
Yeah, and then obviously since the restart, or rather since January, because that's when our kind of run started, really, then we've slowly clawed everyone back. And I think that, again, I think Solskjaer deserves a lot of credit for that, and the team as well, for their kind of, in some matches, like Leicester game, the final game of the season, it wasn't spectacular. We came away with a 2-0 win. But that's the type of performance, the type of match that in the past, I think we would have probably, we wouldn't have got the result, because but there's a certain level of aggression and grittiness in the side that we didn't have previously. And, you know, we ended up, if you look at the, you know, when I reflect on the match, Leicester didn't have a ton of good, they didn't have loads and loads of good chances. They created opportunities, but so did we. And the fact that I don't remember Jamie Vardy doing anything in that match, really. I don't know if you watched it, but I don't remember him doing much in that match. I think that's a pretty good compliment to Lindelof. I think he had a very good match. So it's that type of performance that gives me a bit more optimism versus the first period when he's an interim manager and he went on that run. There was still that flakiness in the side. There was still a bit of an issue with the, there was still that kind of, you were worried about the results. And then we saw the results dip after that. But this time, the performance has dipped, but we didn't, you know, but the results were there. And we obviously got over the line in the end. So I'm hopeful and optimistic that is a good sign going forward.
All right, well, we will leave it there. Thanks so much for coming on today, Josh. If you want to tell folks where they can find you or anything you're working on, now would be a good time.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. You can find me at the moment on Twitter mainly, at Mehdi Joshi. That's it, really. I'm not doing much else because work is absolutely ridiculous at the moment. So, and obviously, I'm on this podcast every now and then.
Awesome. Well, best of luck with all of the work stuff. And thanks so much for taking the time out here. It was really great hearing your perspectives. And best of luck in the remainder of the Europa League season.
Thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.